Our next speaker has had a very busy day. This morning he was leading a study, and this afternoon another hours of leadership. And now we're going to ask him to give us a discourse. But I want to add this. Not only has it been, and is it, a very busy day, but I will say that Brother Rick Evans is one of those volunteers and one of those heroes that is always ready to be there. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. I say that because Brother Rick has been impressed into service on very short notice. I understand that it was just no more than perhaps a week that he was asked if he would be able and willing to substitute, and to substitute in three rather demanding slots on the program. 3 days' notice. Now, those of you who have not been before on a platform taking these responsibilities may not appreciate some of the stress and the demand and the pressure that that kind of schedule would impose. And that is why I say we thank Brother Rick particularly for his willingness, and I'm sure for his helpfulness in instructing us today. God bless him specially for that. And I know God's going to bless us now through him. And the subject of this discourse will be simply change. Brother Rick.
Oh my gosh, talk about pressure. I'm going to need a change real quick here. Thank you, Brother Ray. Oh boy. Topic that I'm going to talk about is change, because I think that's something we have to deal with every day in life. Things change our lives constantly, and especially at the memorial time, we start to deal with changes that have occurred in our life because we're starting to think about when change began in our life. A change from living a life that maybe is worldly to a life that's in harmony with God. And that was a major change. And so those are kind of some of the things we're going to be looking at. Whenever embarking on anything in life, we are going to expect change. And it's taking ourselves from something that's comfortable to maybe something that's uncomfortable. And we have to be willing to go through the uncomfortable times in order to make change. Examples will be when you get married. That's a big change. My wife back there smiling. Buying a home, having children, getting a job, death in the family, moving. All those things involve change. And there are times of hardships, but there's times that we can grow many lessons from those. But the greatest change that can occur in our lives is when God calls us to make a decision on whether we want to go about making a full commitment to follow in His Son's footsteps. So in order to talk about change, I think it's beneficial that we understand some of the factors that involve change and things that will bring about a voluntary, sustained change. And so in my opinion, I'm going to look at five different factors. When we're called, I think we go through about five steps in order to make change. And these steps are, one, first you develop a knowledge of God, and through that, your condition relative to Him. Two, you desire to change starts. And this comes from your knowledge of God. And He uses the Scriptures and starts giving you reasons why to change. Number three, in order to change, you will have to expend effort. And this effort will bring about a change in your life. And then there's four. What you need in order to change is an environment in which to change in. And primarily we're talking about a spiritual environment. And lastly, five, and probably the most important thing, you have to believe that you can change. And so we're going to look at those five things. And I think when we start to understand them, they start to give us momentum on how to change our lives. This is going to be a time of growing, a time of gaining knowledge of God and His will for you. But at this time, we'll have to make some decisions about ourselves. And in order to do that, we have to count the cost. And we see that in Luke 14, verses 26 through 33, which we'll read. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and his wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whatsoever doth he bear, and whosoever doth not bear this cross and come after me, cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending on building a tower, or think of somebody building an ark, sit not down first and counteth the cost, whether he is sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it all, behold, those begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, and was not able to finish. Of what king going in to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So we're going to look at these five factors one at a time and how they're going to affect our lives in order that we can make change. The first one was the knowledge of God and our condition relative to Him. For each individual, this knowledge comes differently, but there was something in that knowledge that seemed to have perked your interest. You decided to think about it and not just discard it as another piece of useless information. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His divine power, He hath given unto us all things that pertain unto God and life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us by His own glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that was in the world through lust. Those are the conditions we came from. That's our relationship to God. We have escaped this through knowledge. The scripture shows us that even though that we have to live in the world, which is corrupt, we can mentally escape that through knowledge and keep ourselves separate. We can rise above our condition and develop a character that is harmony with God. An example might be of Peter walking on the water. He walked above the restless seas until he started to look at them and fell back in. We can walk above the restless seas ourselves. The word knowledge in Peter is Strong's 1922, which is a very concise word. It means correct knowledge. Romans 1:28. We see a condition with respect to knowledge to God. And even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient. Another scripture is found in 2 Timothy 3:1-8, and we'll only read that in part. This know also, that in the last day perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, retrograde concerning the faith. Another scripture is found in 2 Peter 2:20. We see again that it's the knowledge of the truth that helps you escape the world. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, and the latter end is worse than them than the beginning. These are those whom God has called out into His marvelous light, but the conditions of the world surround them again, and their major focus is thrown back into darkness, back into that worldly condition. They are not willing to change their focus towards God and what He offers, even though they continue to have to live in the world. The inner value that gives us strength to live in the world and yet not be overcome by its influences is gaining exact, correct knowledge of God. Hebrews 6:17 through 19, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon this hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul to be sure and steadfast. This hope is based upon knowledge, a knowledge of God. This is the will, the inner value that we will find within ourselves that will keep us separate from the world so that we can live in accordance to God's will. So this takes us now into the second step. We've come to understand our relationship to God as we start, and we start to gain some knowledge. Now we have to start to acquire that knowledge and desire to change. And that's a hard one, because the desire has to come from us. Knowledge is useless unless you're willing to use the acquired knowledge. Knowledge for knowledge's sake is meaningless. Colossians 3:9 and 10. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on anew, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The knowledge that you have received from God shows that you are in harmony with God as you start to make your changes. You desire to put off the old man and develop the new, knowing that you have to live in the world, but you don't have to be worldly. Romans 12:1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a sacrifice, living holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This will be done through the knowledge of God. We can come to know that God has permitted Satan to rule this world. He's got an age of evil and disobedience. We see that in Ephesians 2:1 through 3, and also in Titus 3:3. We'll read Titus 3:3. We ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. This is where we came from. So we desired now to be transformed, as Romans was telling us, into this new way, to not become a part of world's ways. Romans 8:28 through 30. And we know all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them also he called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So this is a called condition that we start out in and are not left without direction to follow. God will provide that for us. In order to attain this goal of being transformed, to change our minds, he gave us a pattern that we can follow. And at this time, we think on this pattern of Jesus Christ. We desire to be like Jesus, to walk like Jesus, but we also know that Jesus had to do that while he was here on the earth. We know that he was a man, and he lived under the influences of the world. But he was not overcome by the world. Hebrews 2:16 through 18. For verily he, Jesus, took not on angels, but he took on the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Now that we have gained the knowledge of God and we have reasons to make a change, We come to see that the world is definitely not a righteous place. We desire not to be conformed to the influences of the world, even though we have to live in them. So we learn that there is a way of not being conformed to the world, and that this is by becoming a follower of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Colossians 2, 6 through 9. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Our desire to change and to be Christ-like is not to be influenced by the world. We desire not to fall into the world's shortcomings. This is a beginning, our first step in a journey. It's like taking a journey of 1,000 miles. We have to begin it with a single step. But in order to finish that journey, we must be willing to continue stepping forward. And that will bring us into our third idea, that in order to have change, we have to be willing to make the effort. We will expend energy towards accomplishing this new goal. There is a saying, words say much, but actions tell volumes. We must be willing to take action on what we have learned about God. Paul gives us a good example of this in Philippians 4:4-9. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful, not anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, what things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lively, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in scriptures, do, for the God of peace shall be with you. Paul shows us by a living example on how to be in harmony with God. Because Paul used Christ as his example. In 1 Corinthians 4:12-13, which we'll read in a minute, we have an example of the effort that's needed to bring about this change. Paul's actions to situations were not worldly reactions, but actions in harmony with God. It is important that we learn to take action and not to react. Our effort that we take to bring about change is based on knowledge. From this knowledge that we acquire, we use it to act in a certain way in accordance to God's laws. Our actions show that we have control of the situation. We do not react, showing that the situation is manipulating us. We make an effort to change our behaviors towards different situations and act according to this new way of life. We do not react as the world would do in accordance to personal survival or gain, but in accordance to the will of God. Thus we have to discern what is God's will for us and act accordingly. So in 1 Corinthians 4:12-13, we have the apostles stating, and labor working with your own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer, being defamed, we entreat. We are made of, as the filth of the world and the offscouring of all things unto this day. Paul acted towards each situation as to what God's will would be. Desiring is the beginning of change, but desiring is not enough. We must take action and make an effort to change. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. As Paul shows, he would have the brethren be filled with the knowledge of God, of knowing God's will, and he expects them to move forward in an effort to be fruitful in good work and increase in their knowledge. Hebrews 10, verses 22 through 25. We see some more ways to make this effort. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled of an evil conscience and the body washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the profession of faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. Our effort is on a daily basis. This is our vocation. This effort also will involve us, but it will also involve others, especially others of like mind, which will bring us to our fourth factor for the need for change. This would be to have an environment in which will allow you to change. This entails being around others who share your beliefs and changing the environment of your mind. In Proverbs 23:7, it states, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." So the thoughts we entertain are an environment that our mind lives in. In order for us to do the will of God, we need to make sure the environment of our mind is in harmony with God. We have to control this. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 27 states, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I was suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings oft, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fast often, in cold and nakedness." It did not matter to Paul what happened to himself physically. His mental outlook was not weakened, but the opposite occurred. It was strengthened. His mental environment was on one thing. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things behind which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ." The environment that he mentally lived in was something that looked towards the future. It was based upon the knowledge of God. The world, it lives in the past. Hatred, revenge, envy, jealousy, malice, these things all deal with the senses. Our focus is on the future. We must bring our thoughts there. If God can wink at the past, so can we. Acts 17:22 through 31, which we'll just read in part. And he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he not be far from every one of us. For as much then as we are offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold, silver, or stone, graven by art or man's devices. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent. Another way to have our environment changed is to be in an environment around individuals who have the same goals as we do. Thus, assembling yourselves together, which we read back in Hebrews 10:25. Being around brethren helps us to reinforce our mental environment by studying and fellowshipping together. Through sharing our experiences with each other, we find strength to continue in this way, which is contrary to the world. 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, everyone hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all these things be done unto edifying. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Together we build the church in love for one another for the future. So as we see that change starts coming from a knowledge of God, then desiring to change our behavior helps us to become into harmony with His will. We find that desiring is just not enough. We have to be willing to make an effort to bring about this change. As we start to make this effort, we start to realize that the environment that we live in is very important. We cannot leave the earth. It is worldly conditions. We are stuck here. But we can change our mental outlook and associate with those who we call brethren. But even if we do all this, change may not occur. There is one last step in making change in our lives, and that is believing that you can change. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 4:10 states, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, but we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe." Just as we know something, this does not guarantee that we believe it. Many people in the world have a knowledge of the Genesis account of creation, but few believe that this was the true creation by God. Reprint 2134 states, this is reprint 2134, "It is worthy to notice that believing is one thing and turning to the Lord is another. We fear that this distinction is too often forgotten and that too many are satisfied merely to get their friends to believe some of the good things of the gospel of our Lord Jesus and do not press the matter to the only legitimate and proper conclusion, a complete turning away from sin and the world, a thorough turning of every sentiment, hope, ambition, and desire unto the Lord and into harmony with His divine plan. Let us remember the statement, devils also believe. And let us not rest satisfied with efforts merely to convince the heart without convicting and regenerating the heart." We have to believe that if God has called us to come to know Him, that He will provide what we need to accomplish this fact. Isaiah 1:18-19. "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." God asks for those things, even though we're yet sinners, to come and reason with Him. And He will show us that we can change and that we can be righteous. He has given us scriptures in order that we can reason with Him. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures we might have hope. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God uses the scriptures to teach and instruct us from. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. We have to believe that God will take care of us. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called into this fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:5-6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Scripture after scripture shows us that God is a faithful God. He would not make a promise unless He was willing to fulfill it. He will guide and direct us so that we can come to an accurate knowledge of Him and not be deceived. We have to trust in Him and obey His direction. In order to really change our lives so that we can be separate from the world, we have to believe in God. We have to believe that we can change. Hebrews 11, verse 1 and verse 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. That he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Knowledge of God is the beginning in order to move closer to Him. Having a desire to be more like Him gives us motivation to take the first step in that direction. Making an effort to change sets us moving by taking the first step on the long journey in which we will come to see God face to face. Putting ourselves in an environment which is righteous reinforces that this change is the correct thing to do in our lives. Lastly, in order to have these factors really lead to change, we have to believe that God is and that He can help us make change so that even though we have to live in the world, we do not have to be a part of the world. These five factors of change, knowledge, desire, effort, environment, and belief, are all things we need in order to make a commitment to be separate, to separate ourselves from this evil world. We have an opportunity to show the world of mankind that these are the things, and we are those who lived in an evil world, but were not overcome by its evil influences. That we were willingly being obedient to God and willingly developed His Son's likeness. 1 Corinthians 4:9. For I think that God has set forth the apostles last, as it was appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. Brethren, we have been given an opportunity to change our lives. We should make use of that opportunity. We can make decisions that are based on the future And even though we're living in the world, we can find the beauty of what God has in store for it. We have a part in restoring the beauty to mankind if we will listen to God's call and change our minds into the likeness of Jesus Christ. I conclude with Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom the glory be forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Rick, for that helpful admonition on how we may be changed into the likeness of Christ, and also for your labor of love during the entire day. And as the program indicates, dinner will be the next service by the hotel.
Our dear most gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy name. Dear Lord, we thank you for the privilege that we have to come together, to be with one another, to fellowship with one another, to share our thoughts on thy precious scriptures, to stimulate one another in the pathways of thy Son, to continue to please thee and to do thy will. We thank you for the opportunity of change in our lives, an opportunity to see thy great plan of the ages, an opportunity to know that these changes will also go on to the world of mankind, and all will come to understand that thou is a God of love. Continue to direct our paths and all our brethren throughout the world. Be with them, guide and direct them as you know their various needs. And we continue to now to ask a blessing upon this food, the strength that we gain thereof to continue to please thee. And we continue to look upon thy nation Israel and watch what is going on there so that we may grow stronger in our faith as thy hand is doing its work. And we ask all these things in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.